Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life. Hi, welcome to Practical Consciousness, the podcast with James and Lisa. I'm James.
And I'm Lisa.
How is everybody today? Okay, so again, we're kind of sticking to this recent theme of ours we're doing of being a little bit impulsive and letting kind of the universe give us a topic to talk about for the day. Our theory is that it's coming for a reason. Someone needs to hear the message, or
somebody needs to hear
that. That's our theory. That's what we're rolling with because we like it. Yeah. So today we're going to talk about relationships. But in the left brain practical consciousness spin, we are going to talk about what relationships mean to higher consciousness, or being aligning to our higher consciousness, and what kind of information or self-awareness or whatever the case is, how do relationships play in a higher consciousness, right?
Yeah, how can relationships help us grow consciously?
Yeah. And right before we started recording, when we were kind of floating the idea and talking about the idea, I was telling Lisa how I relate relationships to karma. And real quick, there's, you know, obviously karma is interpreted different in different mm-hmm. contexts, right? So
that's true.
For the purposes of what we'll talk about as far as relationships being karmic, what I mean by that is if dharma is our kind of purpose in life, it's life giving us the things that we've asked for to do our trial, then the karma would be the life bringing the experiences for us to work past. Right.
Right.
And that's my definition of karma in the terms of what we're discussing as far as relationships go. Yeah. And so then really karma plays out in our lives through relationships.
Through relationships. Yeah. Most relationships are karmic relationships. All actually, arguably.
Yeah. 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 And so what does that mean? I mean, what is it when you're annoying sibling, sister, who has been a pain?
Not my sisters. I have two, and they're not annoying. In case they're listening.
They listen? Yeah. Well, I have an annoying sister. I love her, but she's very annoying. Okay. And when we were kids, she was really annoying. So
I think I was the annoying one, to be honest with you.
What does that mean, though? Why are we siblings? What, from a high consciousness perspective, why does that relationship exist?
Yeah, we have things to learn from each other. They have things to learn from, like if it is an annoying sibling, you have patience to learn, unconditional love to learn. And then on their side, let's see, they're the annoying one. What would they have to learn from the relationship?
Well, I'm sure most sibling relationships, it's mutually annoying.
Yeah, that's true. But it's always there's a lot of growth that happens in your family of origin. There's a lot of growth that happens with every relationship, your parents, your siblings, your grandparents.
But why is that? So this is kind of a leading question, but in what about that relationship is making it karmic? What is it? So I'm putting you on the spot, sorry about that. My way of viewing a relationship, and especially in the last couple of years for sure, is that relationships are a mirror of how we are on the inside. And as I was sharing with you before we came on, it's like it's hard for us to know. I mean, even when we're super mindful, it's hard for us. We're kind of like blind to certain parts, aspects of us, right? We don't see it.
Yeah.
We don't see the thought, sometimes the self-sabotaging thoughts, or we don't see the inner critic, or whatever the case may be. We're sort of unaware of it. And we've talked about,
so we see those things in the relate. You're saying we see those things in the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like that annoying sibling, the reason why they're annoying is because there's something inside of our own thinking, our own inner processing that's annoying us.
Yes.
And we're projecting it on that person, that sibling relationship or whatever, right?
A lot of people will struggle with this because, you know, you can have a relationship where somebody does something that just really, you know, bothers you to your core. Maybe it's something even like ethically, it's so against everything that you believe in.
Like maybe our current president.
Yeah. So everybody who has issues with him need to, you know, anybody that you in your life who you have issues with, you need to look at that and think about, well, if I turn this around, what is it? What could possibly be about myself that I need to look at?
Yeah. Because
so that's why I say a lot of people would struggle with it, because things like that, people are like, well, that's not a,
yeah,
there's no part of that in me.
Yeah. Because that guy's a jerk, egotistical, whatever, then that has nothing to do with me. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But I would say, I would say at a minimum, if you can't, if you really resist that so much, at least try to look at it from a standpoint of you have an opportunity to learn patience or kindness, or, you know, just be more loving and less judgmental, you know, that kind of thing. It's an opportunity for that at a minimum. Just, you know, you can learn that from that relationship.
Yeah. What about failed partnerships or, you know, marriages that end or long-term relationships that fracture and what do you?
I think that sometimes there's missed opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Some people leave relationships too early, and then along comes another relationship with this exact same problems.
Yeah.
That's why that happens.
Yeah.
But also some just you learned what you needed to learn from each other, and it's time to move on.
Yeah, I call that there's a natural karmic end to a relationship, and there's nothing wrong with it, and it's time that both parties or multiple parties, however, it's time for them to move on. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean the connection has to end, right? It just means that the natural relationship is no longer, it's no longer necessary.
It's not needed for growth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that like if, I better stop growing and learning from this person or I'm going to lose them. You know, some people might think that.
Yeah. Well,
that doesn't mean that that's what would happen. Cause you know, this is a energetic world, right? Things are constantly changing. You're always going to have, you know, growth opportunities with every relationship, regardless of whether or not, you know, you've fulfilled all your karma that you needed to with that person.
Right. Right. And karma, some people would be listening to this and saying, are you guys basically saying that relationships are just a way to tap into your kind of inner self, inner consciousness, awareness, and that's it? Because there's no other value to those relationships. And I don't think that's what we're saying. I think what we're saying is that relationships are more than just a person that we've connected with in some way, shape, or form. That there's more to a relationship than just hanging out and having a beer together or watching a game together or, you know, buying a house from a person
more than just being stuck with them because they're your parent
or sibling or cousin or aunt or whatever. Right.
Right.
So we've talked about the karmic aspect so we can learn about ourselves, by particularly how we are experiencing the relationship. It's not so much about how the other person is experiencing it, it's how we're experiencing it.
Right.
Because
it's not really any of our business.
Well,
what, how the other
we could be like you and I are business partners and we're friends. And, so there's a relationship, we have a relationship. And we make conscious choice to continue having this particular relationship. We do this podcast, you know, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
But it's deeper than, I guess what we're trying to say is that there's more to the relationship than just, you know, we laugh together and we hang out with each other. We teach clients. We, you know, we do this podcast that, in particular, you and I, it's interesting because we met each other in our coach training program. And we both, like, as soon as it's like we had a project. I can't remember. We had a little.
You were my first peer coach.
Right, but even in the training, we had like a little where we got together to.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To do
yeah.
like a little exercise or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And we just sort of hit it off, right? Right off the.
Yeah. It's
almost like we knew each other. But from before,
yeah.
Like,
and I'm sure everybody listening can resonate with that. You've met somebody where you were like, do I know you? Or you just have that feeling that you've met them before, or that you've even known them for a long time.
Yeah. Or maybe we've known each other in a past life, or maybe we're related to each other in a past life in some way, shape or form. I mean, maybe you were my big sister or my big brother, or, you know, you were my mom. That's weird. I don't like to think about that.
Anyway. I like big sisters, like a boss you around.
My big sister tries to boss me around. It doesn't work too well.
Doesn't work.
Hmm. No. All right. But so in that case, there's the kind of the karmic piece I like to think that If you look at where you and I were at that stage of our life experience, right? Similar age, similar
backgrounds.
Yes, pretty similar backgrounds. Could it be that the universe brought us past each other, or brought our experience together because it was time? It was the right. Like,
on both of our paths, it was the right time for us.
Yeah, that's
for what we needed. That's kind of a friendship.
Yeah, that's kind of where I like the energy brought us together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. It's still karmic, but more like almost like law of attraction. Like energy gets like energy. So
yeah, that's what I was just thinking about. We were both vibrating at the same level, so that you're just attracted to energy that's vibrating at the same. That's why when there's a guy that walks into a store or into a meeting in an office and he's all belligerent and being nasty, you know, if you're not vibrating at that level, if you're not also pissed off and what, you know, feeling that way, you're going to move away. You're going to shut down, block him, walk out of the room because you're not attracted to that energy.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of concept, right?
Right.
It's the opposite, I guess, where you're attracted versus not being attracted.
Yeah. You're resisting or yeah. Yeah. So
it's not resistance when you're not at that vibration thing. I don't think that's more, that's resistance as much as just, you're just not vibrating at the same level. So and it's the same with them. If that person walks in, is in a really bad mood and they walk into a meeting and there's somebody in there, people in there laughing and having a good time, they're not going to be attracted to that energy because they're, you know, they're down here and everybody's laughing it up here. So they're going to sit and, you know, in their little corner, or they're going to leave the room or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, no,
it's a different topic.
No, it's exactly, that's exactly where I was kind of headed, is this idea that, we're, again, there's something to be understood, I guess, about like what's occurring within, because like it's, like we just said, there's two people kind of in a similar stage of a spiritual journey, I guess, to some extent. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, and I think this is what happens. The universe brings us together, brings these relationships. Yeah. There's this quantum organization that's happening. There's some element like moving things towards each other, bringing people together. And that's why relationships are so important, I think, to, especially mm-hmm. if the more conscious you become, the relationships become more than just a connection. They become meaningful in multiple dimensions. Like, there's the pure just love and connection you have with another soul, for sure. And then the mutually beneficial actions that you take together that are just mm-hmm. sometimes fun or laughing or, you know, or intimate or whatever they are.
Or learning from each other.
Learning. All those things that on the surface we value a relationship for, right? Which is, mm-hmm. and it's interesting. This is just coming to me now. And if you think about a relationship, there's a give and a take, right? There's a consumption, and then there's the consuming the relationship or tapping into the whatever product that is coming from that relationship, and then there's producing, where you're feeding the relationship. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, if you think about it, we may sever a relationship. We may make a choice to sever a relationship because that feels out of balance.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I've had relationships like that before where it was like, you feel drained after your interactions with these people.
Yeah. And you and I were just talking about that here recently, where there was a couple of relationships that you just basically had to say, I can't do this anymore, because you felt like you were... the other side of the partnership was just all consumption.
Yeah. And there's different ways of dealing with that kind of situation if you're feeling that, because you can look at it as an opportunity for you to practice boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually probably a good thing to try first before you sever the relationship.
Right.
You know, see if you can grow from the relationship. Okay, there's obviously something going on here. I always feel drained after being with this person. So let me see if I can grow from this, because here's an opportunity for me. You know, it's a nice little petri dish. I always picture relationships as little petri dishes. You know, this is situation that I'm going to do this test and see, you know, what the outcome is. And so you have an opportunity to practice boundaries.
Yeah.
And see if maybe that works, and maybe it will, and maybe it won't.
Well, and my thought was that the give and the take is a perception, right? It's only my point of view. I can't really know if the other side of the relationship is only consuming. It only appears to me that that's the case.
Yeah.
Which,
and obviously communication's a good thing. Yeah. Where you could actually ask them.
Yeah. Yeah. Which,
how are you experiencing this relationship?
Well, and it's just going back to what we were talking about before, which is if you view all relationships as a relative mirror, then if you see an out of balance relationship, then what is that telling you about you, about what's occurring inside? Is there an out of balance relationship internally with yourself? Yes. And then
this is where higher consciousness brings
right,
about.
Right.
You'll know, if you're in a higher conscious place, you're going to recognize that, and, you know, instead of like pushing back and resisting.
Right. Or running away from that person and saying, you need to bring more to this relationship. Right. Cause that's our typical, I'm now attached to this person. And we've talked about this in the past. Right. So maybe it's you and I, we've got a business relationship. We've got clients we're working with, and so now I'm attached to this relationship. It's part of my livelihood. It's part of my both of our combined livelihoods. Mm-hmm. And then for whatever reason, I feel like it's out of balance. I'm like, I'm doing all the work, I'm doing all the selling, and Lisa's just like showing up, right? Well, then, well, typically most of us, 99.999% of us would, if we chose to communicate about it, I might come to you and say, look, you're not pulling your weight in this partnership. And, mm-hmm. You know, classic relationship counseling would say, no, don't use threatening language, you know, speak from your side, blah, 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 right? That's the typical way things go. But I guess what I'm proposing is if I felt that way, if I was like, Lisa's not pulling her weight, I'm doing all the work, then being conscious and not asleep at the wheel, I know that it's not really about Lisa, it's about me. Mm-hmm. And
your expectations.
It could be my expectations. It could be the story I'm telling myself. It could be something I'm afraid of about myself and that I'm withholding or whatever, right? But the mm-hmm. point is I can explore that, and I can ask myself questions about that, and I can
be curious about
it. And I can come to you and I can say, you know, I just want full disclosure. I'm building this story in my head. And admittedly, it's only in my head and it's only my story. And I'm telling myself that I'm doing more of the giving and the taking. And to your point, that at least gets both of us now working in a partnership to figure this out. Mm-hmm. But in the end of the day, it still falls back on me and my ultimate conscious choice about what I'm going to do with this relationship. If in a truly honest, loving way, because the other side I wanted to mention about relationships and higher consciousness is we have relationships in our core and in our heart because we need to be connected.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. Right. We need relationships.
We have to have them. You know, we're in the middle of this pandemic, and we were talking earlier today about a lot of people's struggle right now is less about being locked up, and it's more about not being connected, like physical close proximity to other human beings. Mm-hmm. You know, we're social distancing and all that other kind of stuff, and
covering our faces.
Our energetic field needs to connect with other people's, with other energetic fields, because, and here's the thing that I think is, you know, the old Jerry Maguire movie, You Had Me at Hello.
Oh, thought you were going to say, Show Me the Money.
Well, Show Me the Money. Well, isn't there another one that's like, You Complete Me? Isn't that in there too?
Yeah, that was it. That was
You Complete Me. So yeah. It's funny, but I believe that when two or more human beings come within close physical proximity to each other, and it can be what you and I are doing right now in a way is we're not physically close to each other, but we're energetically connected with each other.
Yeah. You don't have to be in the same, you don't have to be co-located.
Right. But our two energetic fields are like merged together, and it's creating a new energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that energy is either worse than each of us individually, or it's the same, or it's better. Yeah.
That vibration thing probably too.
Right.
You know, when you're merging a higher level with a lower level.
So what's interesting about that is you bring, go back to the analogy of the grumpy guy coming into the meeting room. Mm-hmm. We always like to use the analogy of in meetings. I don't know why.
Because we have a lot of experience.
Yeah. 90% of our lives up till, but so the grumpy guy comes in the meeting and then you're like, I'm not, that's not my jam. I'm out of here.
You might turn your body.
Right.
To
block, you turn away. But what would happen if the two energetic fields came together and instead of resisting,
what's that word?
Transfigure.
No.
Trans.
We're two energies are
entrained with each other.
Entrained. That's the word. Entraining. Yeah. that's what would happen. So either this, or maybe both. You know, one's going to come up, one's going to come down, or they're going to, right? Isn't that what a train then is?
And our egos tell us it's going to go down.
It doesn't have to, though.
No, it doesn't.
Especially if this person's a higher conscious person, and they just keep themselves in love and be, you know, this person's probably having a bad day and, you know, I don't know what's going on with him. I'm not going to judge him, you know, so then this person will come up a little bit, I think.
Maybe.
If that happens.
And
yeah,
I think
so.
I think
maybe not all the way up. But
the important point you make is that it's the conscious choice we make, yeah. Right? Do I not engage because I'm worried that I'm going to entrain to that negative energy, or do I engage hoping to help entrain that person's energy to my energy? Or there's the kind of a third thing, which is what is the makeup of the energy of the combination?
Yeah.
So you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but oftentimes when you try that neutrality thing, you know, both are slightly affected by the other. And so if you're the one that's at the higher level, you're going to, you know, you are going to be pulled down a little bit by that other energy.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to mention as far as relationships go, from a practical consciousness perspective, I guess, is that when you think about that combined energy and I imagine many of our listeners have experienced this, where maybe they're working in a group on a project or something, maybe at work, or you know, maybe they're working with their spouse on, you know, in the backyard or whatever, common task, I guess, and the energy of the combination of people is its own kind of like entity, and it's like better. I mean, it's you know what I'm saying? It's like
when it's cooperative, yes.
When it's cooperative, then
yeah.
Which that's another podcast episode, we can talk about cooperation versus competition. But
yeah.
I guess my point is that sometimes relationships complete us. They make us better. We're going to do some podcasts on kind of divine blueprints, but one of the things we want to talk about is human design. And in human design, they actually talk about how in human design, we have these nine centers in our bodies, and they're either defined or undefined. And if you understand another person's design well enough, you can actually like take it, like you might have a defined center and you go with their undefined center, which they'll take that energy from the defined center, mm-hmm. and it basically creates like another being.
It's exchange of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah. It's like the combination creates its own being.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about parenting, right, a single parent versus someone who's co-parenting with somebody, you kind of see this sometimes where the partnered parenting is a better parent than the individual parent is on own. I imagine you can get the opposite too, where the combination is a less efficient combination, I guess, and it can do damage or whatever, but You get my point, is that that's another way to think about our relationships, and thinking about when we resist forming a relationship sometimes with people, is we might be limiting our own ability to, I'm using a kind of judgmental word, but our own opportunity to be better or grow or whatever you talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so... okay. What's some practical?
I was waiting, you know, that's where I headed.
Say,
yeah, but I'm like, what have we talked about where we want to talk about practical things that you can do. I would say one, some things would be to start paying attention to your relationships and how you feel in your interactions with other people. Because we, in past podcasts, we've talked about how a lot comes through your body,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you can recognize, mm-hmm. you know, messages through your body. So how do you feel, you know, when you're interacting with someone?
I haven't,
you know, do they make you feel like
right,
this
right.
all crunchy and, you know, or do you feel more open and, you know,
I have an exercise I do with my clients. Cause I do use relationships as a self-awareness tool, in coaching a lot. And, one of the exercises, I invite my clients to do is write down 5 relationships that are highly, like you just said, are these people really trigger you. Like I hate this person, or I can't stand when this person walks in the room. Those kind of people, right? Those kind of relationships. And then the opposite, the relationships that you just have either have had in the past or currently have that are just, you know, they just mean so much to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the characteristics of the relationships. So,
yeah.
So what is it like? I used to work with this person, and I won't use their name because I doubt they're listening, but,
because they're not higher conscious.
I don't know that.
Sorry.
But
sorry, I'm just joking.
But when they walked in the room, literally I had a visceral reaction, like, oh, like I tensed up. I could not stand this person. And, you know, we had a 18 plus year careers together. So it's not like I could avoid this person. It was, and that's not me. I don't react to people that way very much, but this person really bothered me. I mean,
what a great learning opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. So when I did that exercise on myself, I wrote it down. And the question I always ask myself is, what's my justification for vilifying that individual?
Mm-hmm.
And in this case,
write all that down.
In this
like
case,
they annoy me.
Well, in this case, the justification was that person was a bully.
Yeah, they were bullies.
They were mean to people, and they made people feel small, and they belittled people and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, that helped me understand that I'm a bully to myself, that mm-hmm. I criticize myself constantly.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
So I make myself feel small with my own self-talk. So that person, I believe, was karmically in my life to show me,
help you,
how to become more compassionate with myself as well as other people, right? And then so as you do that exercise, look at it through that lens, is what am I justifying myself by feeling this way about this person, and see what comes up there. And the same thing on the other side. The people that you admire are the people that you hold up high, or the people that you just love spending time being around. What is it about that relationship that is so drawing and that you want to consume or have more time with that individual or whatever?
Yeah.
Because that's potential. That's your recognizing your own potential.
It is. When you admire somebody, those are actually qualities that you have. We don't let ourselves believe that, but it's true. That's why we admire them, because they have qualities that are in us. It's almost like that, you know, vibrating at the same level kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's why you admire those qualities, because that's you.
Yeah. Yes.
But we don't want to believe it, though.
No.
Most people don't want to believe. No, I could never be like that. They're so wonderful.
up on their mountain, on their pedestal somewhere.
Yeah.
And then the other one I want to share, this is a little bit more, I don't know, wooey, I guess, woo-woo, I like to play experiments with life. Like, life to me is kind of a big sandbox. We're all just playing in with each other, and right now I'm pretending to be a coach, you know, I'm doing that for a while, and then I'm going to pretend to be a brain surgeon for a while. I'm just kidding. So what's a fun experiment to play with, relationships basically for a little bit of period of time is like one of my clients, it was sort of a natural introvert, and felt like that being that introverted was holding that person back from opportunities. And so the experiment they came up with, which I've now used with other clients, is basically they did an experiment where they were going to be fully engaged and open with anyone who initiates an engagement with them. And they were going to do that for a week. And then just see what if anything changed for them, yeah. Right? And so when they were standing in line, I mean, it's harder now with the pandemic to you know, social distancing, but if they were standing in line at the bank or whatever, and someone just started sharing, like sometimes people do, instead of like, you know, trying to end the conversation as quickly and you know, politely as possible, and then get back inside their own bubble, they opened themselves up and engaged in the conversation and kept it going until the other individual ended it. And
that's great.
What was really interesting is in just a week span of time, this particular client was into sports a lot, and in this short amount of time had found a tennis partner and potentially at the time it was a potential new business venture with somebody. And all they did was stay open to making connections with perfect strangers, essentially, right? Just to see how that would feel different because their normal mode of managing relationships is to stay back and guarded until whatever reason they felt like they could open up to it. But by then they painted that person into a, you know, they painted that relationship into a box basically, and it could only go one place. And so now they're like open. And then not only did they stay open, but then they were like, so like just shocked with how it went that they carried it even further. And they were like, I'm going to like view relationships essentially as, almost like we would do a marketing event or something, right? Every relationship has a potential.
Yeah, and that's so true. I know a lot of recent college grads who are struggling to find their place in the world with jobs, and it's like everybody you interact with, every single person, everyone is a potential for some opportunity that will end up being your job, your career, your first job in your career.
Yeah.
So don't discount any relationship.
Every relationship has potential. Every relationship will at a minimum mirror back you. And every relationship is a energetic exchange and combination.
Yeah.
And that's really the message we wanted to hit home, right? Is that don't just look at a relationship on the surface. Like, look beyond the obvious and look at the energy. Look at what the partnership builds and how the combined energy is exponentially stronger.
Yeah. And pay attention to the energy of of your relationships. Pay attention to it.
Yeah, pay attention. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably the most concrete and practical and simplest thing advice we could give the listeners is pay attention to your relationships, all of them.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah. And I think with that, we should end on that note, don't you?
Okay. Yeah, that was good. That was a good conversation.
We went long today. Yeah, we turned that into a long conversation. Crazy.
Oh, we did. Almost 40 minutes.
Okay. Well, thanks for hanging in there with us. And hopefully this rang home for someone.
Somebody, it did.
It actually did for me a little bit. So
yeah,
crazy.
Me too.
Yeah. With that, I think we'll say goodbye and thanks for listening.